For believers, it's the gospel that gives us joy and strength for each day. We find that gospel, that good news, throughout the Bible, both in the New and the Old Testament. Isaiah proclaimed that gospel in the 53rd chapter of his prophecy when he said about Jesus, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We're glad that you've joined us. Each weekday afternoon, we come to you with gospel-centered, biblical teaching. Here's our host, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've tuned in. This week, as we're considering Psalm 137, one of the more difficult passages of Scripture, one of the more difficult passages of the Old Testament. Psalm 137 is considered to be an imprecatory psalm, one of the cursing psalms. You know, and as we consider this psalm, I think it's important also to have some historical perspective. As we look back through the history of the church, we find any number of heretics. And in the history of the early church, we find one heretic by the name of Marcion. And Marcion didn't like the Old Testament. He felt that the Old Testament was a book of wrath, a book of judgment. In fact, the God revealed in the Old Testament was a God of wrath and God of judgment, whereas the God revealed in the New Testament was a God of love. So Marcion basically cut and pasted, made his own Bible that fit his own purposes, that fit his own understanding of who God is. And someone has recently pointed out that much of the church today, many Christians today, are actually functionally a lot like Marcion. They're basically modern-day Marcionites because they disregard the Old Testament, for by and large, for the most part. Unless you can find some Bible passages that have some kind of moral example, that provide some kind of moral lesson on how to live your life. So be like Abraham, be like David, don't be like Saul, be like Daniel, don't be like Nebuchadnezzar, and so on. And other passages they have a harder time with. And one of those harder passages or harder parts of the Bible is the book of Psalms. You know, and you see it with the selective use of the book of Psalms in the church today. You know, Christians tend to gravitate towards the praise Psalms, the Psalms that exalt God. And then generally they take a few verses from those Psalms, taken out of context, and then use them in their worship. Whereas the book of Psalms, there's 150 Psalms, and there's a lot there. And most of the Psalms are actually laments. Most of them are in a minor key. And much of the church today, many Christians today, don't know what to do with that anymore. Well, Psalm 137 challenges us on that point. And I think as we consider Psalm 137, as we consider the book of Psalms, we need to have the perspective of our Lord Jesus himself. You know, any number of passages in the New Testament tell us how the Old Testament relates to the New Testament. And one of those passages is found in John 6. Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." Now, when he says scriptures, he's not referring to the New Testament. He's referring to the Old Testament. He says that the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament, no exceptions, they all testify about him. And then later on in that same chapter, this is John 5, actually, John 5, 46, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." So also Moses wrote about the Lord Jesus. Moses also wrote one of the Psalms. He wrote Psalm 90. And I think what Jesus says there can be applied to the entire Old Testament. And in fact, as we look at the New Testament, what is the most quoted book in the entire New Testament? It's the book of Psalms. And in almost every instance, those Psalms are applied to the Lord Jesus. And so we need to have that perspective as well when we come to Psalm 137, when we're trying to think about what does Psalm 137 have to do with the gospel? What does it have to do with Jesus Christ and his good news? Well, Psalm 137 reads, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, Raise it, raise it, to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. In this psalm, we find a prayer and a song about two cities. And then in the first place, there's a passionate love for Yahweh and his dwelling place. It reminds us of Psalm 69, verse 9, where David says that zeal for your house consumes me. And in the New Testament, in John 2:17, those words are applied to the Lord Jesus by his disciples. His disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. And it's the same kind of thing that's taking place in Psalm 137. And it's not so much the temple, it's not a sentimental attachment to a building or to a city that's in view here, but rather its connection, its relationship to God. And repeatedly we find that the Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he portrayed that passionate love for Yahweh, for the Lord, and his dwelling place that we see here in Psalm 137. And if you want another example, you can think of Luke 19, where we're told that the Lord wept over Jerusalem. Now, of course, that Jerusalem, that city, fell under God's judgment in the year 70 AD. Jerusalem was sacked by the Romans, totally destroyed. Many people were killed. And that Jerusalem and the temple, it's out of the picture. The temple is gone too. And today, for New Testament believers, the temple is among us. It is within us. Paul says in Corinthians that we are individually temples of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6, towards the end there. But Paul also says elsewhere in 1 Corinthians that the church collectively is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And today, friends, the Lord Jesus continues to have a passionate love for God's dwelling place. He went into the exile. You know, talk about those people of Israel. They were in exile in Babylon. Well, the Lord Jesus went into the exile of God's curse for us. As our great high priest, he willingly bore God's wrath for our sins, and he made the ultimate sacrifice. And why did he do that? Because he remembered us. Because his people are his highest joy. Because he loves his people. Christ is the bridegroom who loved his bride so much that he gave his life for hers. And all of this is part of the gospel. All of this has been our reconciliation with the Father. And so in principle, we've been brought back from exile, so to speak. We've been welcomed home into the family of God. Now it's true that we're still waiting for the full reality. What's here in principle isn't totally here on the ground in practice. We still live in the world, but as pilgrims. And our status as pilgrims, as those who are journeying onward to the promised land, our status allows us to sing God's songs in a foreign land. Because unlike the exiles, we're no longer under the curse. Jesus Christ became the curse for us. He took the curse for us. And so we can and we will sing songs of praise to our Redeemer. And we'll also be filled with his love. We'll be filled with the love that he had for God. That he has for God, for Yahweh, and also his dwelling place. Since we're in Jesus Christ by faith, since we are united to him by faith, our lives begin to reflect in greater measures what he's like. Now, if we're going to see that at work in our lives, think about our attitude to the church. Are we filled with a love for the church, the place where the Holy Spirit dwells? Do you pray for your local church, the local congregation, the temple of Jesus Christ? And when our children hear us talking about church as well, what kind of words do they hear us saying? Do they hear people who consider the church to be their highest joy on earth? Or do they hear us complaining about this or complaining about that? You see, brothers and sisters, friends, Psalm 137 calls you today to reflect on your attitude towards God's dwelling place. Because you are in him, because you are united to him by faith, your attitude should be the same is that of Christ Jesus. And then we come to the second part of the psalm where we find the minor key, you could say. We find the down part. At first glance, it looks that way because there's this hatred. There's a righteous hatred for Yahweh's enemies who mock him. As I mentioned earlier, usually churches which sing the psalms have a modified version of Psalm 137. And these modified versions have the first part down pat. People have no problem singing about love and love for God and for his dwelling place. But hate, Well, that's another matter. For us, hate just doesn't play very well. As Christians, we're taught to love. And as Canadians, and I think as Americans too to a certain degree, we value love and tolerance. And in Canada, at least, we've even connected hate with crime. We talk about hate crimes. And so quickly, we forget that God hates. God hates Satan. God hates sin. There are scripture passages that even speak of God hating the sinner. You know, we hear so much today about God hating the sin and loving the sinner. Well, there are also passages that say that God hates the sinner. Take a look at Psalm 7. And therefore, hatred itself is not a wrong or sinful thing. It becomes wrong when it's set in the wrong direction. And we need to keep those things in mind when we come to the last three verses of Psalm 137. Verse 7 is the only one in the psalm that's directly addressed to the Lord. It's about the Edomites, the descendants of Esau. They played an active role when Jerusalem was destroyed. So the psalmist asks God to hold it against them. Verse 7 says, "Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom." The word "remember" in verse 7 is written in a special way in Hebrew, which shows that Yahweh is being asked to lay his judgment upon the Edomites. And this was because through their role in the destruction of Jerusalem, they showed themselves to be enemies and haters of God. They weren't just attacking any old city and tearing down any old temple. It was an attack on Yahweh, on the Lord. And that's confirmed in the book of Obadiah. That entire book of Obadiah, short little book, but that entire book is a prophecy against the Edomites. They had repeatedly attacked God's people, and Obadiah announced God's judgment against them. Psalm 137 is simply echoing what God himself had already said in the book of Obadiah. Obadiah had said that judgment would come, and the psalmist prays for the fulfillment of that prophecy. And not only that prophecy, there were others as well. Both Ezra and Jeremiah had also brought God's word of doom against the Edomites. Well, we're going to continue considering this passage tomorrow on Gospel Talk at 2:45 here on KARI. Thanks for tuning in today, and I do hope that God will continue to bless you richly in every way.
This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Our goal here at Gospel Talk is to faithfully preach the gospel in season and out of season. That's also the goal of the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church. This program comes to you today through their generous support. You can find the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church at 17473 60th Avenue in Cloverdale. That's just off 176th Street. Sunday worship times are 9:30 a.m. and 2 p.m. Guests are always welcome. You can find more information about the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.cloverdale.canrc.org. That website again, www.cloverdale.canrc.org. You can also write us for more information, or if you have questions about anything you've heard today, write to Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code, V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1088. 87. Again, that number 1-866-288-1087. Email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks for listening today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We invite you to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:30 here on KARI for more biblical instruction with Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. Abounding Grace can be heard Monday to Friday at 8:30 a.m.